Sharon, can you please determine a quorum?
Jean Ellis. John Reavers.
Here.
Sarah Holliday.
Here.
Don Ware. Cheryl File.
Here.
Okay. Determine a quorum. Four of us present. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Looks like we have an addendum to the agenda. We'll make 13.1 the elementary math curriculum and textbooks, and then the other addition on an addendum to the Director of Finance's contract, we'll keep that at 13.12. So can I have a motion to approve the agenda with the addendum?
In just a moment.
Yeah.
I would like to pull the March 27th special meeting minutes from the consent agenda because I had a few changes to them, but I didn't actually read them until this afternoon, so it's not fair to try to do them now. I think we should just pull them and bring them back up at the next meeting.
Okay.
If that's okay with everybody?
That's fine. Sure.
I move that we add the addendum as discussed to our agenda.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded to add the addendum as well as pull the special agenda notes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Okay. Student representative report. Nicole.
Well, it's like a packed house in here. I'm not sure if I can do this. So I just found out today is Turquoise Tuesday. It's choose respect against domestic violence. So we're turquoise on Tuesday. And so Pennies for Patients is going on to raise funds for kids with leukemia. And so far the juniors are winning. So if you have any dimes or nickels or quarters, just put them in their jar because that'll help everybody else and the kids too, you know. But pennies, you know, are for and give you points, and then any silver or dollars, you know, go against you. So.
Oh, really?
Hmm. And Art Fest is next weekend, and the kids are going to Yakutat. Mm-hmm. And during that weekend, we don't have school Monday or Tuesday, so it's like a free week for them, I guess. Baseball and track are kicking it off. Baseball's going to Craig this weekend, depending on the weather. And then they're going to Sitka next weekend, and May 1st through the 3rd, Craig is here, and so is Juno Douglas. And then the weekend after that, so the May 9th and 10th, they're going to Ketchikan, and then May 14th through the 16th, and I think that's over Little Norway, Thunder Mountain and Sitka are here, and then they play at Juno May 23rd to May 24th, and then Sitka's the weekend after, and that's regionals, and then States the weekend after that, and it's also at regionals. And then for track and field on the 25th and 26th of this month, they're going to Ketchikan, and then May 2nd and 3rd, they're going to Thunder Mountain, but I think that might have been canceled. I'm not sure. Yes, it did get canceled. Getting Matt and Jamie, because that's the weekend of prom. And then they're going to Haines the 9th and 10th. Ketchikan, they're going to Ketchikan that weekend.
Yes.
The schedule at the office is not correct. And then they're going to Regions at Thunder Mountain the 16th and the 17th of May, and then they're going to Anchorage for State the 22nd and through the 24th. And then Music Fest just happened. The kids came back, and they did wonderful and getting all good reviews, and they got a bunch of awards for jazz and singing and band and everything else. And then prom is May 3rd, but if you need a countdown, that's 18 days. And then graduation for seniors is June 3rd, and if you need another countdown, that's 49 days, but 28 approximately school days, depending on which day we get out. And then today we had class meetings, and all the lower classmen, I guess you'd say, they went over our class schedules, and we talked about graduation, and we got our cap and gowns, and it's senioritis is starting to kick in, I think, for everybody.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Okay. I am going to jump back up to the student presentation. I apologize for skipping over that. So we would love to see what you brought to show us. Right there is probably good, and then the microphone so that people listening on the radio can hear you.
Okay. So, I'm Tucker Hagerman.
I'm AJ Erickson.
And we're with the MacTech department with Petersburg High School. And what we have right now is we have the 3D printer set up here, and we are currently doing a job, and we are going to play a documentary of the 3D printer for you guys. A little bit of technical difficulties, but, you know, since we're from the MacTech department, we know how to handle this.
How do you get the speakers set up?
Oh, you gotta be going there, I don't know.
Maybe I'll just, do that.
Don't dip. All right, so we have a GoPro tripod mount that we want to 3D print. As we can see, this is some different pictures of the mount, and so we know that this is the right one for us. So we're going to go ahead and download the STL file. We can see that it's downloading right here, and it's in our downloads folder now. So now we're going to go on over to SketchUp. And here we are going to go and import it from our downloads folder, which we'll navigate down, and it's called GoPro Tripod Mount. Click it, and we're going to load it in. Alright, and as you can see, it looks like it may not have been there, but we delete the guide, and as we scroll in, we can see that it is indeed imported into SketchUp. So now we can look around and see everything, make sure that this is truly what we want. And so now, since we have SketchUp, we can customize this object. So we're going to end up putting some text right here on this face, I think. And I'm going to go to 3D text. I'm going to type in PHS all caps. Make sure that everything is normal. And then we'll click OK. And now we see that it's much larger than our project, so we have to try and place it on the face that we want, which is right about there. And now, since we've placed it, we can zoom out, and then we can use our scale tool, and we can scale it down to size. So, well, we're getting close. We can see that it's still not quite to the size we want, so we're just going to scale it down a little bit more. Alright, so now that we have it scaled down, we're going to want to move it so it's center on the piece. Now, it may appear to be centered, so you have to look at it from all sides. Because right here it looks like it's centered, but as we turn around and look at it from another angle, it is in fact still hanging off the edge there. So we're just going to move it up a little bit more so it looks nice for when it's all complete and finished. Alright, so now that we have it all centered, we're going to make sure that it is exactly where we want it to be, and then we are going to end up zooming out, and then we're going to select everything, and then we're going to go to export on DMX or STL, and make sure it's inches, then you're going to go to the STL file, and we're going to click OK, and we're going to name this GoPro PHS mount. Go, and we can see that it's loaded as a different thing, and it's now on our desktop, so we're going to see as it is on our desktop. We're going to have to move on over to our 3D printing software here. Here's a previous job, and I'll just clear that real fast. Alright, so now we're going to go and load, navigate to our desktop, find it, and then we will open it. And as you can see, it appears down here in the corner, so we're going to click auto placement, and it will automatically place our object right in the center. And as you can see there, there was a little bit of space in between the object and the printing board. That is so that the object does not get stuck to the actual board. So now I'm going to click 3D print and make sure that the quality is normal. I'm going to go and click OK. Alright, we're almost done with our loading, and there we go. So now we can see that it's been completely exported to the 3D printer, and it says 8.9 grams is the size of our thing, so we want to make sure that we keep track of that so we know how much material we have left after the job is completed. We can do this using a simple spreadsheet. So as we can see here, we're going into maintenance, and we're going to have to wait for the nozzle to heat up to about 263 degrees Celsius so that it can print, and then also the platform has to heat up to about 90 to 100 degrees Celsius so that the project is secured safely on the actual platform. Now we're going to cut to a sped up video of our printer printing our project here.
Same piece, and we can also pass around the previous piece that we printed if we want to start over here. So we've also printed out some different pieces. Like today we printed out this supposed to be a keychain, except it turned out to be a little bit larger, so it's more of a baggage tag size. And with different projects, depending on size and how they're designed, they can have different flaws. As with the iSpin, part of it lifted off, and so it has this curve to the bottom where it's supposed to be flat. So we learned that through different practices of doing this. We've had this happen with a couple of different projects, and we now know how to whether to expect this or not and how to try and avoid it. I can pass this one around too as well.
That was made by the foreign exchange student, Sven Heinrichs, that is also in the MacTech class, and he found that on a website full of 3D projects like that, and like I think all of these here. And that one is you plug your iPhone into it, and with the cone on top, it actually amplifies the sound, but then it sounds like an old record player. But
oh, that's cool.
It still works, so that was a pretty neat thing to figure out. And then a few other things we have here is a hard drive case. This is for like a hard drive out of a computer, and then you put it in you can put in just in here, or you can put in a ESD bag, which is electrostatic discharge, so it doesn't fry anything inside. And that's what we did, and we put our little improvised MacTech symbol on top. And you can also see this one had some flaws in it, but it still works how it should.
Yeah, this was one of the first prints that we did, if I'm correct in that. Mm-hmm.
Now, where this can tie to school is one thing that has happened a lot is students' computer chargers, where the charging block is, there is it tends to their cord tends to break right where the block goes to a cord. And we actually found this on that website where you can zip tie this little printed piece around the cord and it will keep it from bending and breaking, so that it'll last a little longer and you'd save $50 a month on ordering new chargers. So, yeah. And what's printing right now is what we actually showed up there, just in blue. This one is, it'll take about an hour to print, so it takes a long time for things to print on here, but I mean, in the end, it's well worth a few hours. So this one's about halfway done, which is cool. And you can also see a lot of parts on this printer were 3D printed, like this case here, this little filament holder here, and then a few pieces in the back.
I think that's about it with a 3D printer.
Awesome. Did you make the case that went around your camera, too, the green, that looked like there was a case
on
your digital camera, or that you took the film in?
Right here, this is a just a small GoPro case, so that you can, so you don't have the large GoPro case that they come with, or that you can buy on their store. It's just smaller, it's lighter, it's a lot easier, and you can also, I mean, these go right together, which is pretty neat, and you just have a little screw that goes in here. You can actually 3D print a screw to go in here, too. Mm-hmm. We haven't done that yet.
Have a whole matching set.
Yeah.
One of the issues we ran into with, was supplying constant power to the GoPro without buying additional battery packs, and this gave us access to the ports so we could plug it in and film things, you know, over longer duration than the battery would allow. DJ found that online.
Awesome. That's incredibly impressive. It would be great if we can even put that on the website. So if anybody who's listening tonight would like to actually watch that video, that'd be great.
Sure.
Yeah. It'll be there tomorrow. I know some people that can get that done.
Maybe during class. Wow, thank you very much for bringing everything in and showing us. Back to business,
boring,
I guess.
Business.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. Okay, do we have any correspondence? I guess we do, from Mr. Noah Sullivan.
I've got a nice note from Noah Sullivan.
Yeah.
About the spelling bee. You have it. I didn't.
I read it with my online packet, but I don't think I brought it with me. He sent us a nice little note that he had gone to Anchorage for the spelling bee. I think it was the first time in a long time that we had sent anyone, and it was nice to get from him. Cheryl's got it up. I'll just read it. Dear Petersburg School District, thank you for allowing me to participate in this year's Alaska State Spelling Bee. Though I did not win, it was a great learning experience. I had a great time. I hope that you will send next year's winner to Anchorage. Thank you again, Noah Sullivan. Yeah, we're glad he was able to go and that we could do that. And hopefully next year as well. Any other correspondence? No? Okay, we'll move on to comments from the audience unrelated to the agenda. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to comments from the audience related to agenda items. No? Okay. Comments from board members?
I might make a quick one. This is Jean, and I want to thank you, Sarah, for taking over. I feel like I realize that I've actually missed quite a few meetings this winter with different health issues, but I appreciate being able to be here at home and do this on the telephone, so thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in. Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. I can't remember. Do we call the roll on this one? Yeah, please call the roll.
John Greenhurst?
Yes.
Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Jean Ellis?
Yes.
Motions passes 4-0. Okay, administrative reports. Dr. Thomason.
Okay, well, thank you. I have four little items we'll talk about real quickly. A lot of the maintenance stuff that I would talk about happening in the district, Dan is going to cover in spades, I'm sure, and a lot of the building things the principals will cover. First off, I would like to just offer a thanks on behalf of the board and the staff and the kids to the borough for funding the district to the $1.8 million level that is needed to keep doing the job we're doing. It was not without a bit of a challenge, but I think we want to maintain a relationship with the borough, and we did that well, and we're watching our money very closely, and we just want to reassure everybody of that. Secondly, on the website, there is a input survey. The No Child Left Behind Act has a clause or a condition that we must annually survey parents and community members about the performance of the school district, and that is there now at www.pcsd.us. The principals are sending it to the parents that we have email addresses for, so anybody, you do not have to have a child in the school to take the survey. So we encourage the grandmas and the grandpas and the people whose kids are grown or don't have kids, let us know how we're doing. We do care, and we actually go over all of that. Thirdly, a little reminder that the K through 5 youngsters, again, are getting out May. I shouldn't getting out. Their year will sadly end May 30th on a Friday because the construction is in full force, and we are excited about that. And we're thrilled about, we think we'll make the deadline of August 19th to have it finished. And again, a kudo to the contractors. Alaska Construction contractors are doing a very nice job of communicating with us and keeping us posted on what's happening. And finally, been working hard with superintendent transition activities. I've been in communication with Dr. Stroh. We have converted over the superintendent's email address from a personal address to a position address for the transition so that we can begin transitioning all the agencies we work with. So we're starting to get them on board. We're also converting over all of the shared documents. And so there's not going to be a lag time of weeks while the new superintendent tries to get on board with all the communications and the shared documents that we use in our district. That's the beauty of technology, and many thanks to John Clute Painter, who's been invaluable in helping me kind of make that happen. So those four things, and then we'll just move on to the maintenance director's report, if you're okay with that, because that's where the good stuff's going to happen.
Okay. Maintenance director, Dan Tate.
Following the MacTech guys, I have just a lame slideshow for you.
Oh, sounds good.
As always, I'm happy to report that your facilities are in good working order. Of course, you did hear about the boiler surprise on the talk about that later this evening. Other than that, we're ready for the last little push to summertime. And I figured we'd start off tonight with what's on everybody's mind, which is our exterior wall renovation project. So I have a quick little slideshow for that. So about a week ago, they started with the staging, and you can see our west end covered playground is pretty much taking up space for windows, and so there's drywall and sheathing up there, and then in the back here we have some containers. So space has been cordoned off, and I believe pretty much that the community and the kids are respecting that fence, and it's been really nice to see. First steps, of course, is packing up and moving out, and here's a shot of the library all ready to go for demolition. A lot of plastic sheathing going on. Sorry about the dark picture here, but essentially this is Erica's office, and cabinets have been removed through here, and all that's left is a bare radiator. And as of yesterday, they started pulling out those radiators in the first rooms along the south exposure, all the three offices in rooms 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. And then the demolition started outside, I believe this was yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, yesterday.
And then by today, they had already come around the boiler room, and they had actually tore down the window wall at the library.
And if you're like me, I always want to see what it looks like from the inside. So, but as I was leaving for the night, they were boarding that up, so it is going to be pretty secure in there. And then this is my the Ford for later on this evening. But I think I'll move back. Maybe I should stay here since the microphone's right here. And I'll just sit down. For the month of March, I'm pleased to report that the water bottle filler project is finally coming to a close. Rands McIntosh is putting the last one in at the middle school complex as we speak. And excuse me, not as we speak, as I was typing this earlier. And that will leave one to go in the elementary school. And we thought we'd probably have to sit tight on that one until construction is complete or construction is well down the hallway, because right now it's in the way if we try to tackle that one. A few months ago, I mentioned that we were having some issues with leaking heating valves, and I thought that might be a potential long-term issue. Well, we have uncovered five new ones, and my plan basically is to query the manufacturer, see if there's anything else we can do about this. It's not that it's an expensive project, it's a little bit time-consuming, it's just a little disheartening to have to deal with something that's only about 7 to 9 years old. And we do have a lot of these valves throughout the school district, so I'll be researching that little issue in the future. We're anticipating the delivery of the new marquee, and maybe Rick can tell me what date that's supposed to arrive. I didn't catch that.
It ships from Florida on April 22nd.
Okay.
It's obviously headed to Seattle to get an email, so
all right.
It's immediately when it shipped, and to be honest, their customer service has been very good, as you've seen, too, so a lot of communication.
And I don't anticipate many problems with installation. I think it's just going to be a matter of prioritizing that job with all the other important ones that are going on this summer. So we'll get to attend to that as quickly as we can. It's also my understanding that the first art panel created jointly by the industrial arts kids and also the art students is finally coming together. And I think they need to make about four more of those, and then we're going to apply those to the high school commons to try to beautify that space, and we'll make that a big priority this summer. So look forward to that when you come back in the fall, or at the end of summer, I should say. Finally, Mike Cottrell and I were fortunate enough to attend the School Dude University at Myrtle Beach last week. The maintenance department has been using the School Dude's cloud-based software since about 2002. The state requires us to use a data processing type software to track all of our preventive maintenance responsibilities and our regular maintenance items as well. This university had three tracks. First, there was a leadership symposium for superintendents and principals and other business administration type folk. And then there was a second track for technology-based people, for IT professionals and technicians. And finally, the third, which I attended along with Mike, was the facilities and maintenance track, and that was for the directors and technicians and administrative personnel in those areas. This conference drew about 47 states in, and we met several folks from Alaska, which was really neat. I thought we'd probably be the only ones. It included both private and public education, as well as college and university personnel, so it was well attended. School Dude programs are data-driven solutions School Dude's programs are data-driven solutions to educational facilities needs. As I currently mentioned, we report to the state with two of our School Dude modules. One is Preventive Maintenance Direct, and the other is Maintenance Direct. The data derived from our efforts to maintain the schools directly affect our ability to attract capital improvement projects from the state. So Mike spent a significant portion of his time going one-on-one with their School Dude trainers, learning the ins and outs of the program. And I was really gratified to see that Mike, if he didn't find the answer that he wanted, he found another trainer. In fact, sometimes he went on to a third trainer until he got the answers that he needed to help us along, and that was wonderful to see. We also evaluated several other modules there. One was a facility scheduling program, a utility data program, that's in power and fuel and things like that, facility planning, forecasting and monitoring, and finally inventory control. Two of them really impressed me. One was the facility scheduling module and the other was the utility data module. And I've set up a webinar for next week, and I'll have that set up so other district personnel can evaluate it with me, and we'll see if that's something that will help us in the future with keeping track of where our money and our funding is going. The third module, Technology Direct, is an aid to technology managers who have inventories and repair IT components, so I sent that off to John Kupainer to evaluate for his department as well. So as expected, a portion of the university is a sales pitch for their products, but I attended several roundtable sessions allowing me to network with other directors and maintenance managers, and I gained some pretty insightful information on how those folks manage their facilities. I also sought out several classes on effective leadership, accountability, and professionalism. All in all, I was really impressed with School Dude as a whole, as a company, and in the university in itself in general. And when next year rolls around, I'll be sure to share the agenda with the other administration members of our district, and if there's anything there for them, perhaps they'll want to attend as well. Do you have any questions?
Okay, thank you. All right, Director of Finance report, Karen.
Hi.
Probably need a microphone over there now.
April is a busy month in my department. It seems like everything is due by the end of April. Third quarter grant reimbursements are due by the end of this month. We have several large grant applications that are also due by the end of this month, including Title 6B, which is our SPED grant, as well as our Healthy Living grant renewal application is due by the end of this month. Other applications that we have coming up that the admin team will be working on is Title 7, Indian Education, Suicide Prevention Grant Renewal, NCLB Grant Renewals, which are Title 1A, Title 1C, and Title 2A. And those are all due probably by mid-May. We will have an audit on our NCLB grant this coming May, and they're actually auditing mostly the programming portion of it because our auditors audit the financial aspect of it. You have a fiscal year 15 draft budget completed, and we'll go over that tonight. Fiscal 14 spring budget revision will be next month, and that's all I have.
All right, we'll see you in a few minutes.
I need to emphasize again what May is like in a business office. It's scary busy, yes. So Karen's doing a great job of managing all those, keeping all those little juggling balls in the air. It's amazing.
We'll move on to principal's report.
Hello, good evening. Yeah, just, you know, busy everywhere, and so I'm just highlighting a few things. A lot of it is activity-based, and so you hear that from Mr. Cabral. First of all, I'm going to start with a nice thank you. The WAVE here in Petersburg is sponsoring Marcus Halm from Dark Horse Defense, who did a lot of work with the district on our safety planning. He's coming in and doing a self-defense lecture tomorrow, and it's open to all high school students during the day. Yeah, that's great. But then what's kind of more exciting is the following week during the in-service, he's opening up it'll just be for a few students, and he's doing it. WAVE is paying for his time. He's going to do a 2 to 3 hour session just on self-defense skills. So that's pretty cool, neat opportunity for our students to get some training and maybe get some confidence. And we're kind of aiming for those kids that might be flying out of Petersburg into the big scary world and just giving them some security and confidence. So thank you to WAVE for doing that. That's neat. As Nicole mentioned, Pennies for Patients is going, and that is run by the student government group. And they actually started before, and the Music Fest happened, so they bumped it a little bit extra time there. But it's just such a neat thing we've done for 3 or 4 years, and it's if you caught the gist of it there, it's a class competition. The winner gets pizza sponsored by the ASB crew. But the fun thing is just the game of adding pennies in there, and that counts for you, but then anything non-penny, silver, or cash counts against you. And again, the seniors are already started. They start always in the hole massively, which is great because we all like to pick on the seniors. But at the end of the day, the ASB get together and they count a bunch of pennies. And again, all of it goes to leukemia and lymphoma cancer research. And so it all goes to a good cause and kind of a fun way for students to bond together and do a class competition. So thank you for the student government for what they're doing there. That's a great cause. Also, more thanks here, Bridget Wittstock, Rachel. Thank you to the parents who brought in snacks during testing. We did get through state testing, including the science test the following week, and that's always just it's a big show all across the district, and it's obviously pretty disruptive, but it's a part of what we do, and we certainly will look at that those results when we get them in late May and early June. We'll probably kick a little bit of that analysis into the fall to start the year, so we can kind of see how our kids are doing. Takes whatever little data is out of that, and then also connecting that with the ASPE scores School Performance Index. I get APSE. There's too many of these acronyms running around. So thank you again for all the people that helped that be a success. It seemed very smooth, to be honest. It seemed very, very smooth this year, which is great. That's how we like it. Also speaking to the parents out there, today was the first day of forecasting. Rachel Etcher's been working very hard, and this is scheduling. As Nicole mentioned, this is 9th, 10th, and 11th graders will start the show, and they've been given a schedule that will certainly not be the final schedule, but it allows us to get it out there and see where we have conflicts with the students. But I always like to give a heads up to parents, let them know that they might talk to their kids. It's a great time to talk to your kids about, hey, what do you plan on taking next year? Sometimes the kids get so engrossed in what they're doing there, it's always good to kind of say what they're planning for the future, and hopefully they're connecting with some of the career planning they've done through their years. But again, we've done a forecast. It looks like a pretty good schedule. I don't think there'll be a ton of changes, but there will be some changes, and then kids will continue to schedule maybe one or possibly two more times to get the most kids in the best class that they need. So that is happening right now. Just happened today. Also, as Nicole mentioned, prom's coming up May 3rd, and again, just putting it out to the community, always appreciate it. Hopefully you'll see a lot of kids out there dressed up in the restaurants around town, at different people's house, having a good time. I always encourage parents and just other adults out there, just really encourage the chivalry part of it, allowing gentlemen to be real gentlemen dressed up, and the girls to be the beautiful, you know, maidens, the romanticism of the whole thing. I think that's really the fun part of a promenade. And then, of course, there'll be a dance and all those type of things, and an election of the prom king and queen and all the fun things go with that. So that's coming up real fast, May 3rd. So just letting the community know, and then parents, of course, too, just to be involved with that. And I have a feeling, Nicole, that would you say that most girls have picked out their dress by now?
Oh, I had my freshman
year. Yeah, okay, so you've had it for your freshman year.
Just got my shoes in.
We've got a walkthrough, then someone was talking about someone got a dress from Anchorage, or someone else was from Spain, or they were talking about these different places and what those must look like. And I thought, wow, this is way above my head. So it's they're talking about it now. It's a big deal. And then, yeah, I know. It's coming up. There are so many events out there. I did notice that the high school concert's coming up at the end of the month, the middle school spring concert, the final concert there on May 8th. The best message here is if you're out there and you're wondering what's going on, get on our website, pcsd.us, and click on the activity calendar. There is so much on there. This is district-wide. This is not just for the high school or just the middle school. You're going to see stuff about Little Kids Rock coming up in a couple days for elementary. That's on there. There's just so many cool things to go to, whether it's music or we have the Mikoff Dance Troops coming up here in a couple weeks, and that's on the calendar. So if you are having a hard time keeping up, I look at that 30 times a day, and I feel like I'm having a hard time keeping up. So please get out there, check out that calendar, and see just what's going on district-wide. There is so much. It's very exciting. Any questions for me? Not yet. They will. And they have been meeting. They actually do a career day. Rachel, correct me here. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, the 8th grade has been meeting with Ms. Etcher for a few weeks now. They have not quite done the forecasting yet, and their round is coming probably later this week. But we just started with that one big shot at the high school, the current non-seniors. Yeah.
Okay, what's going on in the elementary school? Renovation. That's what's going on in the elementary school. No, really, there's school going on in the elementary school. Lots of things. Since last meeting, we had parent-teacher conferences right before spring break, and those went really well. We schedule those directly with parents, and we always have great turnout for that, so we always appreciate people coming in and spending time talking to us about their kids. Lots of things on the agenda. We finished SBAs. I would agree with Rick that they went really well this year. I mean, it's always such a lot of work, and I want to really thank Joyce Burke Biggs for all of her efforts in our building. She does a ton of work getting everybody organized and keeping the doors locked. Right, Joyce? She's like the Nazi running around there. Anyway, we made it through, and they went well, and the kids did really well. Actually, our third graders did probably the best that they've ever done as far as just stress level and attendance and whatever. You know, it's always stressful. That's their first big, you know, testing thing. So anyway, they did great, and it all went really well. We do have our exploratory night coming up on Thursday night, which is always a great show. 6:30 in the auditorium. Little Kids Rock will be performing, and we have an art showcase and share. And anyway, it's just a great show. Our fourth and fifth graders have lots of things to show off that night. So that is happening on Thursday. We are gearing up for, there's a community and school, but it's community garden workshop happening in the garden on Saturday. the 19th from 9 to 4, and if you're interested in signing up for that, it's kind of a partnership with our Healthy Futures grant and also with the community garden grant. So if you're interested in that, you can check with Mindy Anderson. There is a fee for it, $75, I believe, is the fee, and it's all day, 9 to 4, lunch included. Should be a lot of fun. We are gearing up for in-service days next week, 21st and 22nd, and we are focusing primarily in the elementary school on the new English language arts standards. That's what we're working on. And some ASTE presentations from the crew that went up to ASTE this year. We'll do kind of workshops. That's district-wide. That our teachers who went will provide workshops for teachers to sign up for, and that's happening on the 22nd. And Lori Roth is also coming in to do some PBIS follow-up district-wide. Next week, DARE graduation's coming up for fifth graders on Wednesday night. That's always a fun event. And then on the 24th, we are kicking off kindergarten registration and orientation, which is also hard to believe. So that's next Thursday night. And we are doing it a little different for people who are out there listening. Partially because of the renovation project, we're in a different area of the school. That's part of the reason, but also we want to do it a little differently this year. So we are asking that everybody actually does come at 6:30, parents, and if they do want to bring their kids, that's fine too. We're going to have pizza, and we are going to do a little more orientation and a little less running around the school, so a little more information for the large group. So 6:30 on the 24th, and if people could bring immunizations and birth certificates, that would be really, really great. And then we're gearing up for fifth grade move up to middle school, which is also happening. So Mr. Dormer and Ms. Etcher will come over and meet with the fifth graders, and then the fifth graders will go over to the middle school, check it out, meet the teachers, and see what that's all about. And then there's going to be a parent orientation night for middle school parents incoming on May 22nd, and that's just for fifth grade parents, because that's just kind of like kindergarten orientation, really. It's a whole new, you know, it's a whole new world. It's a great world. We're sad to see our fifth graders go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think that's it for me.
When do we get our SBA results back?
They usually come late May.
Late end of the year.
Yep. Sometimes we just mail them directly home, or they're sometimes in report cards, depending on when we get them. Yeah. So.
Great. Thank you. Okay.
And your dog is coming up.
You can transition.
No.
This. Not yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. We're a year off.
Well, that'll be a whole other year off.
Okay.
We're not ready for that one yet. You're not ready for that.
All right. Jamie Carroll, Activities Director. And Dean of Students.
As always, boring in the world of activities. Just got back from Skagway this morning. It was a wonderful trip up there. Skagway did a great job of hosting us, and wonderful meetings, lots of stuff going on in activities, especially for next year and the year after that, and the possibility of us moving to a two-way classification and all that jazz, so we'll be looking for a letter here real soon. But going off of what Nicole said, lots of activities going on, baseball, and kind of seems like after spring break, everything starts rolling. So just get prepared for the end. Middle school volleyball, just got back from a trip to Wrangell. They had a great tournament there, lots of games. Mr. Dormer got to tag along. It was a great trip. Lots of girls. I think we took 33 girls over there. We have a total of 38 total in the program, so it's fantastic. And they are hosting Wrangell this weekend, so if you're bored and want to come up to the high school, we will be up at the high school starting at 4 o'clock on Friday, get a couple games in, two courts rolling, and about 60 girls in there, so it'll be fantastic. And then Saturday, we're going to have more games. Just go in, let them play. It's all about the learning moments, and we could make possibly 5 teams with our kids, so it is. Thank goodness for all the assistants. Bev Zerks, we brought her out of retirement. She is in the gym getting after it. She's loving it. Lana Coral, and then some coaches training in the making. We got Marika Erb, Kirsten Lewis alumni, and then Shirley Yip, also helping out too. So a couple of old volleyball players of Code Zurich's coming back and giving back to the program, and they got to chaperone on this last trip, so they know what they were like when they were in middle school. And great conversations. Now they got to pick up after the young ones. Middle school track has started. Numbers there about the mid-20s for middle school track. So at the end, I always like to see how many students participated in all extracurricular activities across the board, academic and athletic. And so I think that number will be extremely high again, as always, might even be higher than last year. Music Fest had a fantastic trip. If you get a chance, ask him about how the ferry ride was. I think there was 180 from Juneau that were on the boat. Sitka brought 93 on the boat. We had 63. Wrangell brought 20, and it was a great boat trip. So, but they did fantastic. Had wonderful reviews on Mr. Lenhart and the program from other activity directors at our meetings, and said that our kids did absolutely fantastic while they were there. So kudos to Matt and the choir and the band and all of that stuff. So. We have a middle school awards assembly Thursday afternoon, celebrating Thursday third quarter celebrations for all of our students for their academic achievements as well as classroom achievements on that, and getting ready for exploratory day and activity day. We did have an activity day the other day, and they wanted to watch Finding Nemo, so we got to watch Finding Nemo and have some snacks and celebrate the end of the quarter. So it's been great. Yeah, that's about it. Question?
I had been told that on one of the trips, a tour group, Road Scholars, asked for an a cappella kind of performance.
Oh, no, but that is, not sure. Floyd Dryden's middle school band group is making a little tour, and they will be coming here, I believe, May 2nd.
I mean, it was our kids, and somebody was telling me that they asked them to sing on the ferry.
Was that track or something?
It wasn't?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was neat. Yep. I couldn't remember what boat it was, but thank you. Okay.
Yeah, no, they did. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, very neat. High school track and field is rolling. 58 participants, I think, in track and field, so they are busy. And so they will be rolling away and trying to get that hard-fought Region 5 girls title, and I think they are working really, really well. And so are the boys, too, as well. So a lot of kids out involved in activities. Baseball is going to be busy. Obviously, as you notice, we have home games during Little Norway Festival. What a great job of planning, Mr. Cabral. but the other teams are super excited to come here. We want to be there during Mayfest. So I know Sitka's excited, and so is Thunder Mountain to get down here. So a lot of baseball, a lot of softball, a lot of food downtown, which will be good because there's restaurants and food open during that time. So.
Trash pickup on Friday
for Earth Day. Yep, we will be taking the middle school kids out. Going to go pick up trash around the community. Each group has a different location that they'll be going out and picking up garbage around the place. Joanne Day is in charge of that for Earth Day. She's doing a great job of being in charge of all the Earth Day activities that we'll be doing this Friday too. So, and they'll be reading, writing, and doing arithmetic at the same time with all these activities as well. So, yeah, but other than that, we will be hosting next year Region Swim, which will be here, hosted by Petersburg. That'll be in town, and then a lot of changes on what other things will be hosting around the region. So, but a lot of changes going on. A lot of new faces at our AD meetings coming up soon. A lot of new ADs around the place too. So, lots of. I had a very good conversation with Allison Satori. She is the
juvenile probation
officer, and saw her in the airport on our travels as she was sitting in first class, and I went to aisle 30. no, just kidding. But she had wonderful remarks for one of our activity programs and keeping some of our students that are at risk involved in activities, and she just had wonderful things to say about our wrestling program and Coach Van Swearingen. And so it's really, really nice to hear those comments from someone else who is working with some at-risk students and said how wonderful it was to have those kids involved and finish the season, get their grades up, and she had no issues during the time with them, during that span of time. So kudos to Coach V and the program there, too. So coming from that source was well taken. So any other questions?
I'm ready. On Facebook that there was a command performance for music group.
Yes. At Music Fest.
Music Fest mm-hmm. was the first time in 16 years.
Yes.
They've had a request for command points for vocal, right?
Yeah. 16 years. Yeah.
It is actually posted on the website.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just phenomenal. Thank you. Thank you to Ketchikan, too, for hosting that. That is quite the event to host. Mm-hmm. Even more kids in the Region 5 basketball tournament.
Oh, really?
And so it is quite the event to put on. And Ed Klein, the activities director there in Ketchikan High School, did a fantastic job putting that on. And all the families there, too. And then Ginger Evans, as well as Jamie Eddy and Tanya Somerville for chaperoning and sleeping on a cafeteria bench with our kids on the way down, because that's the only space that was open. Uh-huh. So they did fantastic at 4 in the morning.
Wow. Yeah. All yeah. right.
Cheryl's questions? Lining up to chaperone next year.
All right, any other chaperone. Questions?
Questions, comments? No.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
All right. Moving on to upcoming dates and meeting announcements. I guess I'll just highlight a few things that the principals and activities director highlighted. So this week we've got on Thursday the middle school awards assembly. On Friday we've got Earth Day middle school trash pickup. Middle school volleyball on Friday and Saturday, so go out and see the kids. And let's see, we've got this Thursday exploratory night? Okay, this Thursday, in the elementary school at 6:30. And their graduation is next week from tomorrow. And on the 24th, we have kindergarten call-out. Come to the school at 6:30. And then this Saturday, we've got the community garden that you can participate in from 9 to 4. Fifth grade parent orientation for the middle school on May 20th. That's not till May, so we'll move on. Let's see, April 21st and 22nd, we do have staff development, no school for the students. And then on May 5th through the 9th is staff appreciation week, so the board will need to figure that out. Maybe we'll have a few new board members we can rally up since we're losing a few.
I was going to take a little comment on that.
Sure.
Because normally during staff appreciation week, we do a breakfast, and I'm hopeful we will have a full board at that time, and that I'll be well enough to be participating. But we need to set the date for that, and I was thinking that usually it helps if the principals have some input into this, because it seems to work better with their schedule. It's for the entire staff. I was thinking either Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, May 7th, 8th, or 9th. How does that work with the current board members, and how about the principals?
They're looking at their calendars.
Yeah.
The other thing I forget to tell you when you... put your name in a hat for school board, you get to cook a couple times a year. It's an added benefit.
Wednesday the 7th or 8th or 9th? Would that one?
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Wednesday works?
7th is my preference.
Okay. Okay. All right. They're saying the 7th. Wednesday the 7th would work. So is the best day for both or all three schools.
All righty. So we'll pick Wednesday the 7th.
Okay.
Anything comes up, we'll... But anyway, why don't we tentatively go for Wednesday the 7th?
Okay.
And basically we start at 7:30, I believe that's correct.
Yeah,
and
I think so.
So we'll be having to do some planning between now and then. I do have a bunch of master recipes and lists and things, and we've done it before, and hopefully we'll have some new people that just be gung-ho to go cook.
All right. May 12th, set the board agenda. I wanted to ask Sharon, the last 2 months we've done it electronically, have we been timely in responding to you? Does that work?
It's fine.
Okay. I didn't know if we wanted to keep doing it, or...
It's up to you.
Okay. Cheryl?
I like to go see Sharon.
So. Oh, you like to go see... Okay.
We can do it. I pop in all the time. Doesn't matter.
All right, well, do you want to be part of setting the board agenda then on the 12th? Okay, Cheryl. Cheryl?
One visit.
Okay. Cheryl's going to do set the board agenda with you, Jean, on the 12th.
Okay, that sounds good. I prefer to do it in person, too,
okay.
As long as it works for us.
Okay. So Jean and Cheryl on the 12th.
Good.
Okay, and then Campus Connections on the 20th. I can do that again. Who wants to do it with me?
Cheryl.
Okay, Sarah.
We can't ask John. He'll be gone. Okay. Cheryl and I will do the campus connections on the 20th. And then that night is our regular board meeting, but we'll have a student recognition at 6:30 that night beforehand here in the chambers. Let's see. Yikes! High school graduation, June 3rd at 7 p.m. in the high school gym. The last day for middle school and high school students will be June 4th with a teacher work day following on the 5th. And as a reminder, grade school students' last day of school is May 30th. Okay, moving on to old business. Last month, the board reviewed sample memorial policies in other districts, and the board wants to discuss this policy development piece by piece, and we had an article on memorials in schools that we can discuss at this point. So I'll open it if anybody has any comments or at this time.
I think just a comment in terms of the timeline, there is no rush on this, and the approach that the board is elected to take is very slow and sure, and this will still be on the agenda and a item discussion, I'm thinking September, October, November into next year, mm-hmm. And the administration's task at this point is just to keep providing information and research and ideas to the board, so when we discuss this at that time, you've got some background. And the article that you have in your hands is one of the best that I've come up with, that I've been able to, I didn't write it, that I've read, and covered a lot of questions that are normal questions and people have. So I really encourage you to read it and chat about it and talk to your friends about it, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I think at this point, just continuing to read, because we're going to have two new board members that I hate to even begin moving down that path yet until they've been on the board for a few months and read the articles, and then we get into the fall and start discussing it more seriously. But I don't know if you have any other opinion on it.
It's fine. Okay. This is the first one I read. I think he first came to us in December.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this was one of the best ones.
So it's a long-term project, and when they new members do come on board, you're going to want to have some special time for them to catch up, and you're going to be having hearings and just hearing from a lot of different viewpoints and people, because it's a long-term decision that has some huge impact. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I guess we can move on to the elementary siding renovation project update.
Madam Chair, I think we've kind of talked about that. We talked about the exterior parts with... Dan Tate, I didn't know if maybe the principal wanted to talk about some of the challenge that have happened inside and the awesome staff and what they've done, and if you had a moment, do you want to? Or I mean, it's quite impressive when you go over there.
You should come see it. It's fun to look at the... Dan and I had to go look at the library and stand there because it was pretty incredible. Like, this morning it was there, and then it's gone. It really is happening. Okay, but you should just come, if you haven't been up there yet, just to sort of see what has already taken place as far as staff and the efforts that have been put in there. The library is buttoned up, and our offices are all moved, and we're down at the other end of the building in a classroom, and that teacher was displaced to another room, and we moved a fifth grade classroom across the hall, and we moved a reading room down to the other end, and we've moved tutors into classrooms with other teachers, and anyway, people have been very accommodating and have put in a lot of extra time over spring break and weekends and different times to make it happen. So, but it's going well. I mean, it really is. It's actually, I mean, the workers are there, they're hard at work, and it's so far, there's a few things, you know, I mean, that you can hear or whatever, but Mr. Sullivan's probably in the worst. He's in the worst location. Luckily, he's very calm, and, you know. How's it going, Dan? It's going great. It's fine. What are you going to do? He just blasts them back with guitars, and then, it's noise. Anyway, it's going well.
Good.
We're gonna
kudos to the staff, because it's a challenge.
So. I just was wondering, what's been your experience so far, either you or Dan, with the contractors?
I would say very good. Communication is outstanding. In fact, I've been emailing Costco, a little tidbit of information there is, I've been playing phone calls between the subcontractors and myself and the main contractor and myself. And I'm basically the liaison with the district, so I just send that information out. If you've been hearing everything, and I guess I've been doing my job, and they've been doing their jobs to get it to me.
We did have one question when Erica and I met with Doug Courtney, the owner of the company, and the question was, so what kind of background checks are taking place with your employees, being that it's a school and there's kids there? And he said every regular employee of his already has a background check, and he did provide those to us the very next day. And he said anybody that is hired that's not a regular employee is getting a background check. The school district is paying the fee for those background checks, and then he's not allowing them on site until they get a background check and we get to review it. So it's been very accommodating to that end.
Wow.
Yeah, with every question, every issue, I can say that too. Mm-hmm. If I have a question, I can they get right back.
Wow.
I feel really good.
Yeah.
Very
good.
Blessed to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kudos to the staff and the students, because I think this is a disruptive time and they're all going in different directions and there's a lot of noise going on outside and such distractions, but it seems like people are going to be able to work through this and be back starting in a timely manner in the fall.
Yep. Okay. All right, we'll move on to the elementary school calendar.
Madam Chair, just a point of information, that we did receive a letter back from Commissioner Hanley granting permission for us to end the year as we have proposed, with the caveat that we ensure that we have a full calendar next year. We don't anticipate any trouble with that. So it's full steam ahead, and we are legal in the eyes of everybody to be doing what we're doing.
That's good.
Which is good.
All right. All right, we'll move on to new business, the addendum, where we were going to the elementary math curriculum and textbooks. The elementary math subcommittee has research programs and has recommendations for the new K through 5th grade math curriculum and supporting materials. Can I have a motion to approve the curriculum?
I approve the Houghton Mufflin Go Math K through 5 elementary math adoption and related materials.
Second.
Well, thank you. Motion's been made and seconded to approve the Go Math K through 5th grade elementary math adoption and related materials. All those in favor?
Well, actually, now you have a presentation and discuss it.
You're right. That's right. Sorry. Yeah. That's why they're here.
Girl.
Let's have this presentation.
Well, because this is 13.1.
Just in case the board, had questions, and by statute, the board has to actually be familiar with the
curriculum.
Sorry,
I'm ready to approve it.
I was like,
I gave you stuff? You haven't read it already?
Okay, so we have it.
Here's where we're going to start.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
This and this.
Okay.
I'm not taking this.
Okay.
We're a little confused.
It's okay.
We're doing fine.
Math, okay.
It's, you know, we're with you. Okay, so what I gave, I didn't make paper copies for everybody, but they will be on our website this week, and if people want to go look at the documents, they can. But just to do a little recap of kind of where we really started with this, which actually has been over the last couple of years because of the shift in the standards that the state of Alaska has adopted. So this is not new, you know, to you guys. We've actually, Rick and I have done a couple different presentations for you, and, you know, each time we go to another training, they've had several of them in Anchorage, we go and we learn more, we come back, we work with our staffs, we, you know, talk to you about it. So it's not, none of that is new, I know, to you. But, and I think I have actually, we have, I think, given you this information before, but this is just a little kind of refresher about what the focus was for, you know, across the state, just this kind of, they pounded it into us as administrators and also just to work with our staffs on that as far as kind of the different way that we're approaching mathematics instruction. And so the document that you have right there is each grade level's, you know, map, per se, that is based on those new state standards, and each teacher and grade level has worked through that. We don't have, you know, a curriculum department. We are the curriculum department.
Mm-hmm.
We are the writers and the implementers, and you know, so we get to take all of the information that the state provides with the new standards, and then we spent a lot of time starting last spring and over the summer and into the fall, and it will continue because we don't, it's not like we just did it and we're done and we never look at it again. It's a huge process. Teachers have spent a lot of time working on it. The documents, you may see 7 or 8 pages per grade level and think, okay, that's great. There are literally hundreds of hours that have gone into that document. And primarily what I had asked if I could have a teacher from the upper elementary and primary end just to talk a little bit about what that looks like kind of on a daily basis, the work that they've put in to it, because the biggest shift I think that we have seen instructionally. I mean, it's important to look at new materials, and we have, and we feel comfortable with the textbooks and that sort of thing, but really the biggest, I think, impact on us instructionally has been this focus on these, on the practices, actually what, you know, what we're doing with our kids and what we're asking our kids to do and how we're asking them to learn differently, really. And these standards are, they're pretty intense. So it's really changing our instruction, I think, for the better, always for the better. I mean, anytime there's, you know, we're kind of reinvigorated and looking at that, but it's been a ton of work. So I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Sullivan. He's going to talk a little bit more about those practices, and we have some more things to show and share. Thank you.
Thank you. This year I'm teaching fourth grade math, but I teach a mixed 4-5 class, and so I sort of bounce back and forth. And so the Alaska standards haven't really changed the stuff we teach. It's sort of realigned some things, taken a few things away, and migrated. It hasn't particularly added. It's more like taking things away, but more depth on the things that we do teach. Move a little bit slower, which has some implications on the current SBAs that we take this year, as we jumped in full-fledged this year and jumped into some things. So that's going to be something interesting to see when we get our test results back. So the Common Core, the Alaska standards are no big change for teachers. It's the things we've always been teaching. But it is the practices that really have a different slant and a change to them. And the first one, I won't read all of them to you. You probably have a handout of the practices. But the first one kind of really encapsulizes a big philosophy of making sense of problems and persevering in solving them. And so a really big picture with kids of really focusing in on understanding constructs of what these problems are. Things, a new concept that I think a lot of us are working on is mistake analysis, where I think it's pushing it to say celebrating mistakes, but mistakes aren't bad things. We make mistakes when we learn. I tell my kids constantly, if you don't make a mistake, you already knew this, and I'm not teaching you anything. You already understand this concept. So mistakes are good things. We learn from our mistakes and sort of build a classroom where that's accepted, and it's okay to get out there and try and make sense of things and then stick with it. Persevere. Persevere is a word that I'm hearing in all the classrooms and all the teachers using constantly. And I think that allows kids to realize that, you know, even if I'm not the fastest or the quickest, or I'm not a, quote, math kid, I can still persevere, I can make sense of this in my own way, and I can solve these kind of problems. I think ideas like there are multiple ways of solving any math problem are again, more prevalent, and that it, regardless of if there's a strategy in the book, many kids bring in many different types of solutions. So it's the practices, I think, that teachers are really focusing on that are making a big difference. The Go Math is a nice curriculum because it really zooms right in with what the Alaska standards are, and that makes it very easy for us to follow along. But the standards, I think, really help us all in sort of changing the way we teach math. Brain boards are one that we've been doing for the last couple of years, where we still have little dry white erase boards where we practice. Well, now we've got big monster ones, and instead of a kid sitting there by himself trying to figure out a problem, we've got 3 or 4 or 5 kids all together on a big brain board, bringing in all their different ways of looking and solving problems, and it's been really amazing to see. And the other thing that I would like to sort of pose before you is that with the new change in practices, there's also a new way of assessment and looking at our students and sort of subtly moving towards ideas about standards-based assessments and thinking about if making minor, or not minor, but constant formative assessments, not long, end of, you know, every month you take a big test, but weekly taking a quickie formative assessment and keeping track of where kids are, and then assessing by what they know. And so you're rather than traditional grading, which can be quite subjective and based on percentages, you're assessing based on what kids actually know. So those are some changes that are sort of kind of subtly popping in. And we just started this week. This came from GoMath number 4, and I sent it, we started out this week with this unit just to pilot and see how the kids are going to respond to it. It is quite different from Singapore Math, so they haven't given opinions yet, but we shall see. But I sent it home and sent a note to the parents, told them to peek through it and see what they think, and so we're going to give it a shot. So it's exciting stuff, and I think it's gonna work out really well. So very excited. Thank you.
So Mr. Dormer's making fun of me for my big bag here.
So what's gonna hurt your back?
And
this is a lot of first grade there. Teacher right here.
But this bag is about a tenth of all the different math stuff we've looked at. I mean, really, because we have all this different materials. And, you know, Erica handed the math standards out in the spring. Well, we've had them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when we started our actually trying to align them with what we're doing, and you look at it, and it's just like, this is overwhelming, I have no idea, you know, and we're educated people and know how to teach math, and there's a lot of things in there that you have to just sit down and go through step by step. And so we spent quite a bit of time throughout last year, and then at the beginning of the summer, I sat down, and Dr. Rob was generous enough to give us some time to do that and align each standard with Singapore Math and find each standard and which lesson it would match up with, and then that's what you have is mm-hmm. is hours and hours of realignment. And then some of the things weren't in Singapore Math, so then we would find other ways of teaching that concept. So the other thing, I mean, there's lots of things we could say, but Dan was talking about the 8 different standards for math, and for kindergarten and first grade and probably even second grade, it was pretty abstract, I guess, just to say I can make sense of problems and persevere in solving them. And so I found these things for the younger kids, and there's a poster on each one, and it makes it more simplified. I can make sense of problems and solve them. And then they can start out by making a plan, figuring out, does it really make sense? How do I check this? And is there another way to solve this? And the kids are the ones who come up with the strategies. It is pretty amazing just to put out a problem and have them all see how their brains work. Because some of the students that I have that if you just gave them a paper pencil test wouldn't be able to perform. And there are some of the ones that have the cognitive and the verbal ability to be able to explain it. And I've been taught a few things even by my 6-year-old class. So, what else? Oh, I think another thing that has changed is really, really giving them time and delving deep and really, instead of wide and teaching them a lot of different things, is to really talk about what does numbers to 20 mean and then to 40 and then to 100 and being able to make those and use different manipulatives in order to do that. Having each wait time so that I'll say when everybody has an answer or if you think you know the answer, you know, put your thumb up and you wait just so that everyone's thinking and you're not just calling on the same people all the time and they're giving their different answers. And the brain boards are huge for that age too. And we, you know, get out manipulatives if you need to. use paper if you need to, use number lines if you need to, whatever works for them. And then, of course, the technology helps a lot. Being able to, they know how to use the smart board, and they will solve problems on the smart board that are pretty, yeah. Anything else?
Mouth talks.
Oh, mouth talks, yes. So we have lots of books that, this is number talks, and a lot of that, I mean, there's different ones for each grade level, but a lot of the math talk is just, you know, putting out a question and them talking about it and coming up with, you know, different ways of explaining it and different scenarios. Asking them questions. I think I have this list of questions that I just keep by me, and they're also on, like, little bookmark size. And so you say, you know, you ask them if, and they're able to agree or disagree with another student. What I heard you say was, what keywords helped you solve this? Can you explain this to me? What were you thinking? And you just, you know, constantly questioning, and then they are learning how to question and question each other. And that's a lot of the assessment that we're doing in first grade, rather than paper, pencil, and just watching them and keeping notes on what they're knowing, what they're learning. So, questions or... Yeah.
I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you know, as I look through here, I see a lot of stuff on algebraic thinking and geometry. How long have we incorporated that kind of stuff at the elementary level?
For a while.
Like forever?
Yeah. Geometry has been a part of elementary instruction for quite a while.
At what grade level do we introduce it?
Oh,
kindergarten.
You know, it seems to me like I had to wait till at least middle school when I was
It's interesting, though, but they have done a lot of research on, kids, you know, you're talking about shapes, I mean, and not geometry, just shapes, obviously, you know, that too, but I mean, that spatially,
they get it.
Yeah, they, mm-hmm. It's like learning foreign languages. They really shouldn't be starting it in high school. They should be starting it before age 9.
My second question... My second question is, as I understand where we're going with curriculum, we're trying to get more verbal reading, narrative kinds of stuff into it, and particularly subjects like math and biology and so forth. Is that where this math talk comes in? Is that part of how we're converting into the more narrative way of dealing with this?
Well, that's part of it, and I also think they learn so much from each other by doing the math talk. And Dan and I talked about this, about grouping kids. And sometimes I will group kids by ability so that they can actually work on something that we know that they're struggling with. But to have them work together with a mixed grouping, because they learn so much from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher level thinking kids will learn more. They'll just, well, I didn't think of that, because they just think of the numbers on the paper, or another student might be able to construct that and show it to them in another way that they wouldn't have thought of. So that's part of the math thought.
There's a different level of cognitive understanding between solving a problem and then articulating how you solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I first heard that, I guess I thought, well, there's going to be a lot more story problems then, and I suppose there are, but it sounds like there's other communicative skills that were...
I don't necessarily say story problems. I think it is more of that. I mean, that's what we've seen. It's just more of that collaborative piece,
mm-hmm.
and the explaining to someone else, talking with someone else about it, and really talking about math rather, you know, that it isn't just a sort of a solitary... Not that people just had kids sitting, you know, doing 50,000 problems and never talking before this year. You know, certainly had very good math instruction prior to this, but... you know, I think that just really making that effort with those practices, really looking at having kids really understanding that and having to explain it and talk with each other about that collaboration piece is big.
And I think in the past there was a lot of memorization. I mean, not for the past, I don't know, years, but they had to know their math facts to 20, math facts to 20, and they might not really know what that means, but... We start with like numbers of the day, and then how do you build that? How do you make that? What is if your math, if your number is 24, how can you make that? And or some kids might say, well, you know, they have might have something, you know, real big, like if you take 100 and you take away this and then add that, you know, so it can be as simple or as complex as it just expands rather than just saying 20 plus 4 is 24.
I think it's more problem solving than story problems.
Oh.
It allows for, I was thinking of it, it allows for more developmental variance because, well, yeah, even in the fourth and fifth grade, we have kids who still struggle with their math facts. And it does slow them down, but it doesn't stop them, and they can still move forward in math. And then quite frequently, they get in the sixth and seventh grade, and boom, it clicks in, and they're cruising, and they're there, and it's finally gelled. And so I think these practices allow for us to handle those better. We don't have this need to charge ahead full speed and, you know, leave the stragglers behind. I'm excited about it.
Les, I wondered if... Nicole, did you have a question?
Yeah, you said, Dan, something about being more focused in on like one topic rather than another, but would you fully like cut it out, or would you like just talk about it kind of like?
No, we cut some things out, which is again that piece with the SBA. There's topics that are no longer covered in fourth grade that are still assessed by the state. So it's kind of interesting to see how that works out. But
do you think that'll affect like future when they're in like higher math classes?
In the next year, in fifth grade, they will
They'll learn
those.
Okay.
I don't have those off the top of my head, but we'll be going back to look them up. But yes, we have shifted things around enough where there are things that I don't cover anymore that I used to.
Mm-hmm. But it's in line all the way from K to 12.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, for instance, in first grade, we used to do multiplication, beginning multiplication, and it's not in the standards at all to even... You know, some kids already are figuring it out, that 2 plus 2 plus 2 is really just 2 times 3, but we don't talk
formally
about it.
Mm-hmm.
Formally have to teach multiplication and division. Mm-hmm. We're just supposed to go into really deep into addition and subtraction and number sense.
It's exciting. It's a ton of work.
That's what I wondered how I know there's a... Because there's standards that you have to follow that the state has come down on, and like you're saying, that's maybe the testing that the state also brings down is not specifically aligned to that. It will be eventually.
Yes, we were supposed to be piloting it's going to be computer based.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be computer based next spring.
Mm-hmm.
But it
we'll see what
was
happens.
Supposed to be piloted this spring, but
and
then they pulled the plug on the company they were going to use.
Oh,
and so
it's
we're
gonna
not
be interesting
piloting.
Then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
There's that. We're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody across the state is moving
mm-hmm.
forward, and I think people feel good with. I mean, We didn't have a lot of people just like, I am not teaching these standards, you know, or whatever. I mean, they seem logical to us. I mean, I think we feel like they make sense, and
it's what we've always thought.
Yeah, and so it's really more of just that
mm-hmm.
looking at. Yeah, I think looking at how we do it and how we're asking the kids to do it, and then how we're assessing what they do and don't know. I do think that's a big part of it too.
Okay.
Lots of ways to show how you know something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Cheryl.
I just have a. I'm kind of fuzzy. So this, it will be from K through 5,
mm-hmm.
and will it go? I know we just got new math. It's Common Core though, right? For
yes.
middle school, will this be a smooth transition
yeah.
into that
mm-hmm.
and into the high school?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be part of these in-service days, will be one of the connecting pieces now that another piece is placed.
Because we have changed a couple times math, haven't we? And then because since my boys are in, I've changed two
yes,
or three times. And it's
math.
Like, I don't know how to do this. So I mean, I'm even suggesting have a little parent.
We have done that before.
You know, how do you teach your kid?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing, and how to teach them, because
we think that's a great idea, and we have done that before, and I think we could do that more with parents.
Just
we
so they understand what they're
yeah.
doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, just from experience.
Well, And the common these math practices allow for that variance. They allow for a parent to say, "Hey, when I was in school, this is the way I used to do this. You can let me show you." And the real idea is, does it make sense to that kid?
Right.
Versus, I think it was every day where you're going to be having lattice multiplication, and the teacher was like, "Well, this is
and it
lesson.
Was a strategy, but it was one
right."
Mm-hmm.
And you had to learn, you had to do it with that strategy. So you're teaching lots of strategies. This you allow, you sort of allow strategies to be brought in with, you know, with what the kid understands, with what they start when the concepts start to gel for them. So,
well, that sounds good, as long as the kid knows that, hey, your parent might help you. Even though, no, the teacher said this. I can't do it this way. This is the way the teacher said. So.
We get
heard
the
that
same
before.
In school, but my mom said. Okay. All right, then. We work with it.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Just a comment, if I might.
Sure.
It's just really rewarding. This is the business of the business,
mm-hmm.
curriculum and instruction. And compliments to the board for having such an interest in the curriculum. And when they say lots and lots of hours, it really was lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of hours and effort. And it's just wonderful to as a person who watches all the instruction take place and visits the buildings to see the substantive discussion on curriculum and instruction. And we're going to hear about the budget in a minute, but it's the budget that drives what our kids are receiving. And so it's just a warm, fuzzy feeling, and I'm having a blast with it here, that we're talking about what we do, and that's why we're here. So thank you.
Well, thank you guys for doing all the lots and lots of work and research. I appreciate
most
it.
Most of the things in the first grade bag here, these are all things that Louie Michelle has found herself, and Dan has a similar, I mean, you know,
you know, he doesn't have a nice bag.
He's got
a different
bag.
He's got a different bag.
He's got a man bag.
That's
a
glue stick. It's first grade.
A Sharpie.
That's what you do.
So basically, there's no math program that will cover every needed topic.
Well, now with Go Math.
Well, I mean,
I like
this is
in theory,
this is definitely
this is
aligned very closely you know, to the new standards. That
mm-hmm.
that's true. But no, I mean, there's, you know, kids still vary. I
mm-hmm.
mean, they come to us varied, and they will continue to be
mm-hmm.
varied. And we have, that's why I think it's important to look to understand sort of the umbrella piece of what are those standards? What are we doing with them? What do we want them to, where do we want them to go?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you get them there? I mean, that's why you don't, that's why teachers are teachers, and you don't just have a workbook or whatever. They say, boop, here you go. Everybody's going to do it, and we'll all get there. You know,
yeah.
It's lots of other
well, and the amount of resources that are available just by putting in Common Core, this
mm-hmm.
exactly what you need, and everything comes up.
Right.
So you can find a lesson in
ways to make those, like the practices with your, you know, showing, having it in first grade friendly language. You know, we don't
mm-hmm.
need to necessarily, we can talk about perseverance, and eventually they'll
right.
get that too, but what does that mean? Hard work, we don't give up, we keep going, we keep trying even when it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you need to vote.
Oh, now we can vote.
Yes.
I think we can vote yes. Okay. Do we need a roll call for this one?
No.
All those in favor of approving the Go Math K through 5th elementary math adoption and related materials, say aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Can we steal one of these to look at for a few days and then return to you?
Okay. Or look at, I mean, it's fine.
Okay.
And that does include, also, I don't know if this is on here, but there's a professional development component to that well. That, I mean, they're actually coming on site. It's part of the quote to come
mm-hmm.
in August, and then they're coming again in November
mm-hmm.
to provide some additional coaching. They actually will come during school time. So.
And does that include the online component too?
And that's, yep, there's
online.
Actually, related
online.
To that,
mm-hmm.
in
and
terms of
work.
Managing our funds, which, again, the budget drives the program, and the program is why we're
mm-hmm.
here. It's a six-year adoption. We're making a six-year commitment, so we get significantly reduced rate because we're making that commitment out there. And it's a huge difference as opposed to having to adopt it and then order each year.
Mm-hmm.
They will adjust the order to our needs without additional charge, whether it's higher or lower.
Oh, okay.
Or shipping.
And the shipping's included, whether that goes higher, mm-hmm. which it likely will. So it's just, it's a good deal.
Good.
Okay. We'll move on to
the sad
point
part.
Two, the sad part, board member resignations. Don Ware and John Bringers have submitted letters of resignation. And it looks like we'll be needing to appoint new members to replace them that will serve until the October elections. So I guess we'll start with a recommendation to accept their resignation.
Can we accept it because John is filling in for us right now? Can we do it?
He's still board member until this meeting is over, even if you accept it.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
So we won't be
I've been thinking
week.
About this. Uh-uh. I think that we can accept Dawn's effective April 1st, which is what she requested, and we can accept John's resignation effective at some future date because that's also acceptable. So I was thinking even maybe tomorrow or the next day, but whatever works. Because I'm actually having a meltdown. I'm not sure I can hang in here much longer. So so that's what I was thinking. That might be the best way to do this. And Dawn actually requested that her resignation letter be read on the radio. So I had told her that we would read it at the meeting, and that would be on the radio.
That's usually the acting chair's prerogative.
Yeah, that's fine. I gotta take care of request a babysitter to show up at the house so my husband can go to work in 20 minutes.
Okay, I'll read the letter into into the record. This is Chair Ellis. This is from Don Ware. Chair Ellis, it is with deep sadness that I submit my letter of resignation from the Petersburg School Board effective the 1st of April. It has been my honor to work with such an outstanding board and all of the staff in the Petersburg school system. Working with Superintendent Dr. Rob Thomason has been a lesson in the active practice of transformative leadership, and I hope that Dr. Lisa Stroh will receive the same warm, supportive environment for our children from the local borough officials in terms of cooperation and financial commitment. I regret that I'm not present to attend the Petersburg Borough meeting this week to express to the borough's elected officials that it is imperative for them to continue its financial and educational support for one of Alaska's most outstanding school districts, and that district lies on Mitkoff Island within the Petersburg school system. I am moving out of state and already know that retrospectively I will continue to reflect in a constant state of awe on the educational environment and community member support for the children of Petersburg. I wish you continued success and hope that someday my son and I will be able to return to this exceptional community and committed educational professionals. Sincerely, Don Ware.
Thank you, Dr. Rob. So, I guess we'll... I have my motion, don't I?
What I was suggesting was two motions with two different dates.
Well, we could do one motion, accept the resignation of Don Ware on April 1st and John Bringhurst on April 16th.
And
you can do that?
Okay. I make a motion. We accept the resignations of Don Ware effective April 1st and John Bringhurst effective April 16th and declare two board vacancies.
I think Jean, you're going to have to second that one.
Sorry.
John can't second it. Okay. All those in favor of accepting the resignation of Don Ware effective April 1st and John Bringhurst April 16th and declaring the two board vacancies, signify by saying aye.
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 I feel like I should abstain.
Jean?
Aye. We're voting now on it. All those opposed? Any opposed? Okay, motion passes 3-0 with one abstaining. Thank you, John.
What we need to do is advertise and set a special meeting date to appoint new board members. Because I don't want to wait all the way to the next meeting. I think we
can figure that out maybe under future agenda items or comments. We can figure out the date to do that. Unless
you
we want to do it now.
I'm actually probably going to have to go to bed. I'm
done. Okay. How long do we have to advertise for?
Within 30 days.
Yeah, I didn't know how long you advertise, and then you wait 30 days till the 30 days are up, or can we open it for 10 days and see what happens?
In your packet, we've got all the... it might be... How about if you task administration with polling the board and
setting
a date and doing the... And we'll get back
away.
To you.
Okay. I'm going to task away. You do it.
Okay.
My thinking is that we should be able to, as long as you advertise in local places.
Yep.
So one of my hopes was that tonight, that Sharon would be able to give to the new pilot and email to the pilot and give to KFSK the notification of the openings for the board. And that we could ask for letters of interest. Because the way it works is we ask for letters of interest, then we announce the names of who the interested people are, and then the board has a meeting and interviews them and chooses two.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to have that done within the next week or two.
That sounds good.
So I don't know what we as a board have to do officially to make that happen, but that's what I'd like to see happen. And the reason I would like it to go to the pilot tonight is I would like it to be in this Thursday's paper.
It won't make it, this Thursday's paper, Gene.
Yeah, it would.
Might. It's a Tuesday. I think Wednesday's the deadline.
Kyle?
Yeah, we can make it.
Is?
And we actually have a draft announcement, a PSA ready, and we're on it.
I just wanted, I think that you were. I just wanted to make sure that there wasn't any other action
nope.
The board had to take.
Okay. No,
I
think once you accept them, then we advertise, and then setting the meeting date is not related to the advertisement for interest.
Then that's the closing date for the advertisement for interest.
Yeah, but we can do that. Tomorrow morning, Kyle and I will get together.
Yep. Sounds good. Okay.
Okay, the board doesn't have to set the closing date. You guys can set the closing date. I guess we just gave you that authority, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it'll be reasonably short.
Okay, just because we really do need, especially with my health problems right now, need some more board members.
Yep, we're gonna get it done.
So hopefully anybody out there that's listening, is interested, will bring their letter to. They bring them up to Sharon, right? Their letter of interest.
Correct.
And then we're hoping to have a meeting, within by next. Wednesday, Thursday, actually, is what I was hoping for, and have the interviews with the candidates. We might want to do it, on Friday, so that there's an opportunity for the names of the people to be in the paper next week. I don't know if that... The other thing is that these candidates, whoever we appoint, only runs and is only elected or appointed until October, so anybody else that wants to... If they want to run again, they can in October... Or if anybody else wants to put their name forward in October, they can. So it isn't like this is a 3-year appointment or anything.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
No, that's in the announcement. Gene, that'll be in the announcement, and that's what we already discussed. That
yeah, and we'll get
we
the,
know that it's
we'll get the
pretty
calendar
clear
out,
that it's
make sure there's
only
no
until
conflicts
October.
And have a timely process.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
All right. Get
okay.
well.
Okay, can you carry on without me?
We can.
Yeah.
Good night.
Get well.
How about that? Bye-bye.
3.3 budget update. Director of Finance Karen Quitzlin will update us on the budget process up to date.
So in your board packet, you have the budget draft for fiscal year 2015. Of course, this was the most challenging budget that I have worked on in my almost 3 years of the school district. I wanted to actually talk a little bit about the process of the budget and then just kind of hit some highlights because this is a draft. We know some things are going to change, but we obviously started out with knowing that our foundation funding was going to be reduced by $300,000 due to our declining enrollment. We came to you in January and presented a small presentation about that. So we knew that that number was a fact, basically, and so we met as an admin team quite a few times. We had a bunch of work sessions, and we kind of talked about what things needed to be changed within the budget. Then I took the budget that we present to the state, which you guys have in your packet, and it's a pretty bare-bones format, but it's what's required by law. And
the major changes are in the payroll aspect of that. So a lot of the other categories were not needed to be changed because we changed some of our staffing. So that's kind of how the budget formulated, was through these meetings with admin, getting their direction, and then taking the things that we knew, which was the $300,000 budget shortfall. So what you have in front of you is the draft, and we have projected revenues of $9,775,000 and projected expenditures of $9,794,000. We would need to go into our reserves, or our fund balance, by $19,000. So some of the factors that did affect this budget or have affected this budget is the decrease in the foundation funding. And one thing that was interesting as well is there's an increase in the PERS and TERS on behalf rates, which actually has an effect on our budget of over almost $600,000. So the on behalf rates are funds that the state contributes on behalf of the employees into the state retirement system. We're required to report it on both the revenue side and the expenditure side. We never see those funds, but we are required to include those in our budget. And actually, for this coming fiscal year, it's over $2 million. So, let's see. This budget is built on the assumption that the borough contribution will be $1.8 million. And I added just a little note in our, and some of the things that affect the budget is that our projected procurement revenue will be $7,000, and that's from our procurement card use from September until the end of March. So, kind of a neat little tidbit. Expenditures, we have staff reduction. We're going to be down next year by 3 teachers and 1 classified employee. And the other factors that did affect this budget draft are insurance rates, an increase of 10% on workers' comp, 15% on property insurance, 10% on liability, 10% on health insurance premiums. Also, 3% increase in electricity and 5% increase in fuel. Factors that still remain that will affect the budget for the final draft are the legislation is still in session, and the borough needs to actually approve their budget with their $1.8 million for the school. And breaking news yesterday was that there's a 0% increase in our health insurance premiums.
Oh, my gosh.
No way.
So that is not reflected in this draft.
Oh, that's nice.
And then the other factors are the NCLB and the SPED allocations. We actually have 6 teachers that are partially funded through these grants. So if the funding is decreased on those, then we'll have to build that into the general fund.
Can I add something real quickly?
Of course you can.
The health insurance is a huge expenditure for the district. It's over $1 million, and then the employees put in $21,000 every month on that. And the 0% increase is a blessing, but it doesn't come without a price. We don't have a Cadillac health insurance program. We have a Chevrolet program, and it's not even a classic Chevrolet. But it is a good program, and it meets people's needs, but it wouldn't be happening without the cooperation and the understanding of our staff. And so even though we are seeing large savings here, it is not without the cooperation and help of the staff. And I must keep reemphasizing that, because that change took place a couple of years ago, and it was a struggle to do, it was done in the right spirit. And I just would ask the board to keep in mind that NEA insurance does have a 0% increase this year, and that's statewide. That's all school districts, not just ours, that they deal with. And it's because of their fine management. It is a nonprofit organization. They work hard at it. And it's just we're all watching our education dollars. So I just wanted to recognize the staff for that.
So that's a real brief summary. We'll have bigger picture, next month we'll actually have the general fund as well as all the special revenue funds included in our presentation. I guess I would entertain any questions. I wasn't going to go through it necessarily line by line, but if you have specific questions, I would be happy to address them.
No, that seems pretty straightforward. Thank you, Karen. Okay, next we have the district's 1997 Ford flatbed work truck has documented pending frame failure. The state of Alaska has a procurement contract program that the district can use, a replacement truck with a base vehicle price of $27,325. Amount, and then a dump bed would add approximately $10,000. Could I have a motion to approve the disposal of the 97 flat?
I think Dan has a question.
Well, okay, I didn't know. Do we do it after we make our motion and then discuss?
Yeah.
Or okay, go ahead. Yeah,
well,
that's great.
Okay. Which are in our favor. as this points out, 97 Ford flatbed, we paid $28,000 for it back in 1997. And how we utilize this vehicle, we just basically use it weekly to haul freight, dump recycling runs monthly, and a lot of work in the summertime with hauling rock and soil and things like that. So after 17 years of service, we have frame rot. And essentially the bed decking is going as well, and our Burrow motor pool mechanics have been talking to us for about 3 years about this, that it was coming, and that we need to do something about it. So instead of putting this out to bid, the state of Alaska has a procurement program, and essentially they maintain contracts with several light-duty vehicle vendors, and they supply us with basic vehicles with additional costs for added options. They use an interactive spreadsheet on their website, and then we can go ahead and price out the vehicle and pick out the lowest one, and the intent of it is to purchase the one that has the lowest price out there, and this usually happens up in Anchorage. So we visit the website, compare identical vehicles from various vendors, and then purchase the lowest priced one. And that way we don't have to take it out to bid. And what we hope to do with two state contracts is purchase the chassis, and the price that came up on that was now $26,188. And the bed is I think you did have the correct number, or pretty close to the correct numbers earlier. Somehow it struck me as wrong, but...
Well, it's $10,700 short on the bed.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
Put together, we're asking for your approval for up to $40,000, just a $3,000 contingency there. This adds up to roughly $37,000.
I was querying Dan, and the city maintains the vehicles. They have the shop, and they are actually trained up in Ford. Ford is their specialty, if you want to talk about that a little bit.
That's correct. They highly suggested we went with Ford because they have a good working relationship with Kendall Ford up in Anchorage and in terms of getting parts and technical knowledge. And also it just turned out that the Fords turned out to be the least pricey ones on the spreadsheets. So it makes our decision really easy.
Why do you need a one-ton?
Because we do haul quite that amount of weight, especially at the end of the year when we're hauling out all the recyclables, in terms of the stuff that comes out of the high school shop. Also, the fact that we haul in to the high school shop most of their lumber and metal supplies and things like that. There's plenty of times I've probably been overloading it and not always aware of where we're going with it.
Yeah, and these funds are some of those dedicated funds. It's not like we're having to create something new. We have funds set aside for replacement of vehicles and equipment, and as does the borough, and that's just, it's time to do that, much like we did with the food service van back when we did that. This is, and as soon as we buy this, we'll start squirreling money back away for the time in the future when this one needs replacing or something else does. So
earlier
that's responsible.
Today, Karen told me we have $114,000 in our vehicle replacement fund, and we're asking for about $37,000, with approval up to $40,000 today.
A healthy account, looks like. Yeah, John?
I move that we approve the disposal of our 1997 Ford flatbed truck and approve the purchase of a new truck with a price not to exceed $40,000.
I'll second that.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to dispose of the 1997 Ford flatbed truck and purchase a new flatbed truck with a dump bed not to exceed $40,000. Is this a roll call? Okay. Could you call the roll then?
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Sarah Humphrey?
Yes.
John Greenhurst?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 3-0. More repairs. It looks like utilizing unused fuel oil budgeted money for FY13-14, the district proposes to install a new high-efficiency burner to our nearly 30-year-old primary boiler in the high school. Our current burner is inefficient by today's technology standards, obsolete, unreliable, and replacement parts costs are skyrocketing due to the burner manufacturer being out of business. Mr. Tate has received a quote from the Alaskan company Proctor Sales in the amount of $10,714 for a new burner and $4,313 for a technician. So can I have a motion to approve the replacement?
I have a little background information.
Oh, do you? Okay.
If you're interested.
Yep.
I've been talking faster and faster tonight, so I'll keep it quick.
You're doing fine.
Fortunately, I have two boilers, and I wanted to point out, and I have to go back. The boiler we're talking about is this one on this side, and this area here is the burner assembly unit. This is the boiler that has the crack end. Mm. And unfortunately, my slides are out of order, so I'm just going to quickly page through. So there it is. This is a Peabody Gordon Piatt combustion burner. It's obsolete. The company's out of business, and it's becoming increasingly troublesome. This little part here, when I started with the district, was $50 or $60. A couple years ago, it ran up to $253, and I checked today, $1,500 for a couple of years.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
Wow.
If
you're interested.
Wow.
I'm going to read you from the guy.
It could be in business.
No good.
Start selling them for $1,500.
And over the Christmas break, I had to nurse this particular boiler. I was in on New Year's Day just trying to keep it running because it had finicky parts, old finicky parts that we have a hard time keeping in stock. So, essentially, this burner is controlled by an older technology that provides only for three inefficient phases of operation, which is basically off, low fire, which means it's just running at about a third of its normal speed, high fire, and then when it gets to some predetermined level, it drops off again until it shuts itself off. And what we're proposing to put on there is a modulating boiler, which basically ramps up or ramps down based on the demand of the building. And so as you can see, it probably would have been more effective if it had a little bit more of a slope to the line. But essentially, whatever the demand is, it meets it, uses only the fuel that's necessary. So if we can get a meager 4% fuel savings, and I believe that we can, this should the purchase price should pay for itself in about a year.
That's fast.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
And that was just some quick rough numbers, but it will pay for itself. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. So with that, if we could have your approval, we appreciate it.
I make a motion to approve replacing. Where is this at? Oh, you said. Never mind. Sorry. Approve replacing the Well McLean boiler burner in the high school primary boiler.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded to replace the burner in the high school primary boiler. All those in, or is this another roll call because they're spending money?
Probably.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry.
John Greenhurst?
Yes.
Sarah Humphrey?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Okay, motion's been oh boy. motion passes 3-0. Next, we've got another boiler. This boiler is in the middle school, was retubed last year, and had developed an additional problem. Director of Maintenance Daniel Tate has been working with the Alaskan company Jaffa Construction on how to best repair and if we should spend money to repair it. And he's going to give us an update on the specific plan and potential costs.
That's where I got confused.
As I was going out the door tonight, Jaffa sent me a quick email, and I'll just read you the highlights of that when I'm done here. But again, just a handful of slides. Our Cleaver Brooks boiler. 30 years old. We're basically looking at this end, but at the far end, about 12-15 feet away, leak developed down at the bottom here, and I'll quote what Jaffa said. This failure would be consistent with corrosion in the mud buildup that was present in the boiler before the retubing. This is somewhat typical of a Scotch Marine type boiler. So this kind of thing happens after 30 years. It's not something they could foresee when they were here earlier. What they did is they essentially replaced all the tubing up through here, and these tubes run the whole longitudinal length of the boiler. And I actually have a cutout picture here just to give you an idea. So they replaced those tubes right there, but this is the main fire tube where the burner shoots fire down here, and then the crack ended up right down here. And they said that that's the typical place that they would find it. I queried them whether or not, you know, we'd find cracks, you know, 12 feet away down in the hole. They said, no, everything happens down at the far end here. That's their professional judgment on that. And there's a close-up of the crack. Essentially, this is where it was spurting out in the first picture, but it does continue on for, I think, a good 10 inches or so.